If you could tell me your name?
Marvin Fowler.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in Jackson County, here on Cedar Creek, 1936.
And what was it like growing up here or in this area?
Well, it was, when I was growing up, really, it was a farming area. And when I were in high school, we had 27 in our senior class. So the schools were small, and they're still small. And that's sort of like, that's about the way it was when we was growing up. It was a farming community, and so it changed later on, more to tourists, but growing up, it was sort of a farming community.
Where'd you go to high school at?
It was called Glenville at that time.
Okay.
Glenville High School, which is Blue Ridge now. And so I finished in 54, 55 at Glenville High School. And it was right on the lake there at Glenville, though.
And tell me about your family and their businesses here.
We, about all of us worked in Bavard at the paper plant and the cellophane plant, and then we started coming back to Cashers. And my parents had a supermarket here, and in 64, my mother had a heart attack, and I decided to come back and me and my wife and help take over the business. And really, that was in 64, and she didn't die until 93, and she had a lot of good years, and it really, I didn't think she would ever work in her business, and she worked another 20 years.
What was the name of that supermarket?
Fowler Shopping Center.
Is that building still there?
It's still there. Well, I still own one of the buildings called Graceware. It's a dress shop. And then there's two more shops that was in that building, and they're clothing stores.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to Wachovia Bank. And I was in the supermarket, and my wife, we had another clothing store, and then later it was a gift shop. And then I had a brother that had a hardware store, and then had another brother that had gas station, and the whole family's in business, and we had most of the business in town, so we had was in fat for a number of years and stayed in the grocery store for, oh, I guess from the 40s to about 2000, when Ingalls came in, we was doing a lot of different things, tree farming, and so we decided that we just, instead of trying to compete with Ingalls, we just do about time to ready to retire, and so we had four or five jobs, and then we just had four after we got rid of the grocery stores.
How has the Cashers Glenville area changed since you were born?
Well, it's went it's went from a logging community to a farming community as far as Glenville and Cashers, and then it went from farming to a tourist industry, and I've sort of from 36 to now I've seen sort of all of it, and it it was a big change and I know back when my father was in business in the 30s, he would haul gas, get it in Toxaway off the train, haul it up with horses to Cashers. There's about 8 or 10 cars, and then he'd sell, they were tourists then, and he would sell the gas for the A models. But they brought it, he brought it to Cashers with a horse and wagon. So that's way back.
So before your parents opened up that supermarket, would you guys have to go into Silva to get stuff?
No, they were small, the small stores here.
Okay.
But it was, we would go, most people would go to town, like Harold's Supermarket, and some of those, and go down there once or twice a month and buy groceries. And
how long did it take to get to Silva back then?
Well, it was most time it's about an hour and a half, but back, I know back, our first vehicles that we had in the 40s was A models, and you'd say, "Oh, I went to Silva and I only had 2 flat tires," so you just carried a pump and patches, and you never did have no money to buy no new tubes or nothing, and if you just had 1 flat tire, you done real good. And I had an A model, and my cousin had an A model, and yeah, we'd brag about I only had 1, or I just had 2 flat tires. So now, that's a big change. But you just stop and take the tire off, but that's a lot of difference. So big change there.
Besides working like in the family businesses, farming, logging, what would you guys do for fun up here since everything, like most businesses, were in Silva?
Well, now, there's a place called Helen's Barn in Highlands. You ever heard of it?
No.
It's a dance hall. Mm-hmm. And everybody went to Helen's Barn on Saturday night. And they would be always 300 or 400. And they were so that's where everybody as you was growing up, that's where you was at on Saturday night. And then High Hampton, they had it's a big country club.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they done their help, they would bring them in from South Carolina and all over the place, and they would come, the girls would come, and boys, mostly girls, for the dining room, and they'd come and spend all summer, and they housed them, and they worked the dining room. So when we were growing up, they would come in a certain day, and about the time school was out. So the boys would want to go down and see the new crop of girls coming in. They'd be about 30 of them. And so that was something when you're growing up. It was, and And then, of course, there wasn't many boys that come, but anyhow, a lot of the girls come in, they married local boys, but anyhow, that was, you go to Helen's Barn, and then a lot of times you date the girls that come in to work for the summer, mm-hmm. and that was two things. And then, of course, we had ball teams, and we play ball on the weekend, and that was that was about it. We go to Western Carolina when we're growing up to the especially the basketball games, and that was. A thing we like to do, and of course he was my parents wouldn't let me drive when I was in high school. I rode with another boy, so, but anyhow we'd go to see Western Carolina play ball. That was another entertainment. We had to go off the mountain, and once in a while we go to the movies in Bavard. The movie was 10 cents and the ham sandwich was 15, so, and a drink, so you, per quarter you got all that. So, so there's been a little change in that.
How has Jackson County changed?
Well, it's really... It's changed a lot with in the tourist. You know, you had the Dillsburg and all through there. They're pretty big in tourists and have been. So it's they changed from the Mead Corporation was a pretty big industry, you know, the paper plant mm-hmm. there. And then, of course, now the Western Carolina was a real small college. Now it's a big college. And then the 10th district for all of Western North Carolina, the State Department's in Silva. That's a big industry. And then the hospital's a big industry. And Southwestern's you know, industry too, and yep. that's, they don't have the manufacturing plants, but they've got a lot of good paying jobs, and with the colleges, hospitals, State Department, and so that's affected the county. It gives them, even though they've lost, they did have some textiles there in Silva. They've lost those, but they've got better paying jobs with the colleges and all the other. And so really now with Silva and the Jarrett House and Dillsburg, they're pretty heavy on tourism too. So, and so it's all changed sort of about the same way, but we've only got mostly tourism, second homes, and it's there a lot of the homes, most all of the homes around country clubs are a million plus houses. So it's changed a lot in that. And people come here to vacation, and you talked when you come up here and stepped out on the deck, and it's almost cold. Well, that's what makes cashers, what makes real estate value. You can play golf in the summertime, in the sun shining, and not, most time not get hot. Mm-hmm. You got this cool breeze, and if you go 15 miles in any direction, it gets hot. You come, you know, on top of the mountain, you're, yeah. And that's what makes the real estate. Because most everything in Western North Carolina, if you get above 3,000 feet, it's owned by the Forest Service and the government.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's 4,100 here. And most everything above 3,500 is belong with the government and
mm-hmm.
Forest Service and parks and all that stuff. So there's just a few little spots that, like Cashers and Highlands, and of course Balsam's a little bit cooler, but there's very few private land that's above 3,500 feet. Cashers and Highlands one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so valuable is the cool breezes.
What can you tell me about that farmhouse on your property?
Well, we bought the land in 51, and the fella that built the house was Guy Zachary. And that, in the Cashers area, the Zacharys were one of the first people that moved into, was the Zachary family. I think they came up from South Carolina, so there's a lot of the historical places here. Most of them are the Talbert House, and it's the Zachary family, is most of the real old settlers were Zacharys. And but anyhow, we bought that, and Guy Zachary's the one that built the house, and he built it in 100 years ago. And his son, he went into the service in World War II, and he was killed. He was a pilot in the Air Force, and he got killed in World War II. And after that, they sold their place here and moved off the mountain, and after their son was killed, I don't think they liked it here much anymore. So anyhow.
So what year would you estimate that house was built?
It was built. It's about 105 years old.
Okay.
So it was is built in about, it's built in 1912, I think. Yeah, I've got a sign over there.
Okay.
And you might, as you go by, you might want to take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm, that'd be good.
Yeah, 1912. And, that's, the man that bought the house from Guy Zachary, his son was killed in World War II. Well, when it came up for sale, a man named Ken Moore, He just got out of service, and they had what's called a GI Bill, and the government would help soldiers coming back from World War II, help them, give them a loan to buy farms. Mm-hmm. So they got a GI loan, this man did, and bought the farm. So it sort of ties,
yeah.
The war tied in, and he kept it. I guess the fella bought it from Zachary. He probably kept it about 15 years, and then we bought it from him. And, that's some, and what they done, the Zacharys, in 1912, they came in the spring of the year and put their crop out on the farm and farmed their crop. I don't know what all they had, but they, back then, everybody, if you need a house, everybody in the community just went and built you a house, and they'd build their barns that way. So they, the ones in the community, they built the house in the summer, and then they moved in about Thanksgiving, and they lived in a tent all summer while he's building the house. And they would, when they had a slack in their crops, you know, they'd all come and build some more on the house. But by the end of the summer, the house was built and they moved in. And, but that's why they, the neighbors would get together and build their houses and build the barns. That's, and that's how that one got built. And any other questions?
I think that's all. Thank you.
You're welcome.